is the preacher. That collar is a clergy collar. Bill Klein is the father of Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer's father, by the way, was a psychiatrist, an eminent psychiatrist in Germany. Nell Soss is a voice student, and Eberhard Bethge, who was also a brother-in-law of Bonhoeffer, married, in fact, Bonhoeffer's sister during Bonhoeffer's imprisonment. The guard and Colonel Beckman.
Gordon Pierce.
Okay. The narrator, Karen?
Strom.
Karen Strom. My wife is taking the mother's part, and I'll take Bonhoeffer. I think I have to say on behalf of an apology, in a sense. First of all, my appreciation to the people who have been willing to read, and in the second place, that you recognize the fact that this has not been gone over before. Okay, will the prisoner begin?
It was at Flossenbürg, in an abandoned little schoolhouse. We knew that in a few days the war would be over and we'd all be free.
Just a few days.
To freedom. We laughed. Soon we'd hold our loved ones again, wives, children, parents. Soon we'd be together again.
Soon we would be
together again.
But we were afraid. There's a fear of prisoners to know that by tomorrow they may be free, but to know also that by sunrise they may be dead.
So near to freedom.
So near to death.
And Dietrich?
Our Dietrich.
Dietrich had a little service for us all.
There in an abandoned schoolhouse.
That became a prison?
Just as his last prayer ended, the door swung open.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with us.
We all knew what those words meant. It was death. Death itself calling.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with us.
Excuse me, I'm going to take and suggest some directing as long as we go. You're angrier than that. You're more miserable than that. Okay. Next time, all right? Okay, prisoner.
He died the next day near the schoolhouse on a scaffold.
So near to freedom.
And now he is dead.
Can you show us where they buried him, his grave?
We'd like to go there now. Show us the place.
There is no place.
But surely there's some kind of marker.
Something to show us where he is buried, his grave.
There is no grave.
No place?
No grave? You might say it was the last wish, the last desire of the Fuhrer regarding those who resisted him. Hang them, throw their bodies in a pile, soak them with kerosene, strike a match, let the wind scatter their ashes. There shall be no place on this earth, no grave in German soil that remember them. Let them be forgotten forever.
We remember. February 4th, 1906.
April 9th, 1945.
39 years.
2 months, 5 days.
A lifetime. The life of one Dietrich Bonhoeffer, son of
Karl and
Paula Bonhoeffer.
When he told me he was going into the ministry, I thought it was a mistake. It seemed like such a waste, a retreat from life, like sitting in a corner of the dance.
How I wish that he would have found a quiet corner somewhere.
Somewhere.
And not died at 39. Papa, must we go on? I would...
But, Mama, I remember his life.
I remember his death.
But life is not years, 39 or 93. Life is loving and giving yourself to what you love. What our Dietrich loved made his life.
what our Dietrich love brought his death.
He loved his life, its joy, its freedom.
And he died a prisoner.
He loved his church, what it is, what it ought to be.
And he was called to die as he prayed.
He loved Christ and followed him.
Even to a scaffold.
But Mama, we must remember Dietrich's life. It does no good to brood upon his death. All we have, each of us, is a lifetime.
A lifetime.
That's all we have.
And maybe for our Dietrich, 39 years was enough. Papa, I will try.
Yeah, that is good.
Do you remember, Papa, how important time was to him? He was always in such a hurry, wondering if he had made good use of the time.
Time.
In the latter part of 1942, Bonhoeffer wrote a summing up. 10 years before, in the summer of 1932, the National Socialist Party had gained control of the German parliament.
10 years is a long stretch in a man's life. Time is such a precious gift, and when it is lost, it is like a diary that is left empty. Only the dates are there. The last 10 years have been disappointing, but not empty. In that time, evil has stalked our land and wrought its chaos. All our petty, pious pretenses are gone. Now we must ask, in the face of evil, in the face of monstrous, demonic evil, who stands his ground?
Reason is man's only hope.
The reasonable man, the rationalist, imagines that just a little reason will set the world straight. But he doesn't know anything about the world. Suddenly it bursts upon him.
The Fuhrer has spoken. It shall be so.
Then a man must act with moral conviction.
That's even worse. The moral fanatic thinks that his purity will overpower evil. Heroically, gallantly, he fights little battles that don't matter. He survives, his convictions intact, but the battle is lost. Evil has triumphed.
Conscience will show a man what he must do.
This man is a hero too, his own hero. But conscience drives him in so many directions that he becomes a divided man. Ultimately, a clear conscience becomes a soothed conscience.
Man must be guided by a sense of duty.
How simple that seems. How certain it seems. But the man of duty never dares on his own responsibility to do what must be done. He only knows one thing, to obey.
Kill.
Man must act. He must act in freedom.
At least this man is free to act. And the man of freedom is not blind, but he is often nearsighted. He does not see that his act of freedom may bring the world a new slavery.
The Fuhrer brings order out of German's chaos.
Then we must pray, Lord, the world is very evil. Let me find a quiet place where I may purify my heart. Amen.
Why do you close your eyes? Don't you want to see the injustice and suffering around you? Some men retreat from life and call it virtue. I call it cowardice.
Then who stands his ground?
One man. He is a man who by responsible action obeys the call of God. He will act.
Even if he must abandon?
Reason, principle, conscience, freedom, and virtue.
On January 30th, 1933, Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. The Third Reich was now a reality.
Achtung, Sieg Heil, Heil Hitler!
On the next day, Bonhoeffer made a radio broadcast.
The new leader emerges as if given birth and nurtured by the whole nation. The people have waited long, not without hope, but like a cripple who waits some word of healing. And now we hear a voice. We see a man. It seems our hopes are about to be fulfilled. But now, it is as if we had elected not a leader, but a Messiah, a Savior. All things are promised, the eternal kingdom draws near. All it will cost is our freedom. Authority, authority, authority is the cry. Obedience, obedience, obedience is a demand, and a kingdom is the promise.
He is an enemy of the Third Reich. Cut him off. Cut him off. Heil Hitler.
On April 7th, 1933, the Aryan clauses were issued.
The meaning is clear. Any Jew or anyone married to a Jew shall no longer be allowed to hold public office in the Third Reich. This shall include the church. Heil Hitler.
We are German Christians. We support our Führer, Adolf Hitler. Further, we accept the Aryan clauses, but we, of course, regret any inconveniences that may result.
Inconveniences?
Let it also be clear that there shall be no meddling in the affairs of the state. Protest against so-called abuses within the Third Reich shall cease. The word of the Führer shall not be questioned.
Heil Hitler!
This cannot be. The church cannot bow. The German Christians must be opposed. They do not speak for Christ's church.
The Pastors' Emergency League was organized, consisting of 2,000 protesting clergymen. In 1934, they adopted the Barman Declaration, which had been drawn up by Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Jesus Christ, as he is testified to us in the Holy Scriptures, is the one Word of God whom we are to hear, whom we are to trust and obey in life and in death. We repudiate the false teaching that there are areas of life in which we belong not to Christ, but to another Lord.
In 1935, what had begun as the Pastors' Emergency League had become the Confessing Church. The Confessing Church established a seminary, illegally, to prepare men for the unique ministry in Nazi Germany. Bonhoeffer was called to train the young seminarians.
I met Dietrich Bonhoeffer for the first time in 1935 at the seminary at Hindenwalde. I was surprised. I didn't expect a scholar to be so.
You play tennis as if you were always waiting for the next set. Never do anything you can't give your whole self. Life is too precious for that.
It was academic and intellectual challenge. Plenty of that. But Dr. Bonhoeffer...
Brother Bonhoeffer.
Brother Bonhoeffer wanted more. He wanted us to become...
genuinely Christian and genuinely human. We've had enough of inhuman Christians. Some inhumanly pious and some inhumanly evil.
While directing the seminary, Bonhoeffer wrote his most angry book, The Cost of Discipleship.
How is it possible? How can the so-called follower of Christ become the goose-stepping follower of Hitler? How does a nation fall silent and in silence approve every evil deed?
First of all, the church had, in a sense, justified ahead of time the evil that would be done. It had done this by dispensing what Bonhoeffer called cheap grace.
Cheap grace has destroyed our church, and now it is destroying our nation.
But grace is free without price. God gives forgiveness and new life as a gift.
Yes, but grace is to be received personally like a precious gift. We've thrown it in the air like confetti. God is love. We've said it so long, so indiscriminately.
But grace is good news, and we must...
To the man who knows he is judged for the wrong he has done, it is good news. To others, if I tell a man who is beating his wife, God loves you, he naturally takes it as some kind of divine approval. Today, his wife. Tomorrow, a Jew. Next, a neighbor.
But we must still speak of grace.
Speak, then, of costly grace.
Costly grace?
Grace that demands a price.
Are you saying that our doctrine of grace is wrong?
Doctrine. You cannot reduce to doctrine what happens to a man. Grace is not doctrine, it is life. My inhumanity is forgiven. That is grace. And a new life as a responsible human being emerges. That is the cost. Speak of costly grace.
But how can you say that cheap grace is destroying our nation?
There is no conscience in our land, no judgment of evil. Cheap grace has turned the forgiveness of sin into the approval of every wretched wrong that is done. We have absolved a whole nation.
By order of Heinrich Himmler, chief of the Gestapo, this seminary is closed. Heil Hitler!
That was September 1937. in February 1938.
Oh, it is good to see you, Hans. How is my sister?
She's very well, and our children also. They're wondering when their Uncle Dietrich will come and bring them some chocolates.
Yeah, I think they are more interested in chocolates than their uncle. I must remember to send some chocolates with you.
Dietrich, I must...
Yes, what is it? You seem so serious.
We must talk. No one must hear.
No one will hear. What is it?
It was a madman.
That's no secret.
Dietrich, his government must be overthrown and Hitler must be killed.
What are you saying?
The resistance movement has already been organized.
But how can you hope?
We do not know how, we only know it must be done.
It is so hard for a German to think of resisting his government. But Hans, I know that you are right. The responsible man must...
There are responsible men in Germany, Dietrich. Soon I want you to meet some of the leaders of the resistance. Sack, Oster, Beck.
General Beck?
Yes, General Beck and Admiral Canaris.
The head of Hitler's counterintelligence, the Abwehr?
Yes, he's the man. And the key people of the resistance will work in the Abwehr.
Hans, I'm grateful that you trust me. But why are you telling me this?
We will need you later. You are known and trusted by people outside of Germany, more so than any of us. That is what we will need.
But what and when?
We don't know yet. I must go now. Goodbye, Dietrich.
Hans, the chocolates.
The Third Reich is bringing forth a new Germany. Austria has been annexed. Sudetenland has been annexed. Crystal night has passed, and not a Jew in Germany will soon forget that night of terror. Heil Hitler!
The strutting pride and easy success of the Third Reich brought turmoil to Bonhoeffer.
And soon I'll be drafted. Must I become a part of this ungodly machine of war? If only I had time to think.
In the early part of 1939, Bonhoeffer received an invitation from Reinhold Niebuhr to conduct a lecture tour in America.
The Third Reich grants you permission to leave Germany for 3 years.
How can I stay in America now while others must suffer? Yet, perhaps I could do more good here. When it is all over, I could go back.
Just 10 days after arriving in New York, Bonhoeffer wrote a letter to Dr. Coffin, president of Union Theological Seminary.
I've had enough time to think of myself, Germany, and God's will for me. I must go back now. If I am to have a part in building a new Germany, then I must share the suffering and trials of my people now. I cannot wait in security. Sincerely.
He arrived in Germany in July. In August,
he gathered students and began another seminary at Koslin.
This seminary is closed.
Then at Gross Schwarzenwitz.
This seminary is closed. Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
I'm Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
By order of Heinrich Himmler, you may no longer reside in Berlin. You may no longer teach. None of your writings may be published. You may no longer preach in any part of Germany. Heil Hitler!
Dietrich.
Hans, it is good to see you. How is the family?
They're fine. Dietrich, we need you now.
But how can I help? I'm not allowed to do anything.
Arrangements have been made for you to work in the Abwehr, in counterintelligence.
But how did you...
Officially, you will be a courier from the Munich office. Most of your missions will be to Berlin, but later you will be sent out of the country.
And unofficially?
Certain contacts will be made.
Bonhoeffer's most important mission for the resistance movement took place in May 1942 at Sigtuna in Sweden. There he met Dr. Bell, Bishop of Chichester, England. The key question was, if a resistant government took control, could a truce be reached with the Allies which would not require a military occupation of Germany?
Bishop Bell, tell them this. The state administration, the trade union, and the army are preparing to overthrow the Nazi regime. A new government will be formed. Jewish persecution will cease, and all their property will be restored. Germany will help rebuild all that has been destroyed or damaged by the war.
Dr. Bell saw Anthony Eden and told him of the plan. Word was sent to the Americans and the Russians.
Have you received any word yet? It's been 2 weeks.
No.
Now it's been 3 weeks.
Word has come. No action shall be taken. The conditions shall not be met.
During the time that Bonhoeffer worked in the Abwehr until his arrest in 1943, he wrote his most important book called simply Ethics. Bonhoeffer felt that the disaster of a Nazi Germany was related to the failure of the church.
My fellow Christians, my topic today is the church, the world, and the Christian. The church, as Martin Luther said, is the place where the word is preached and the sacraments administered.
That is not enough.
It is the place where we worship, where we pray for each other and the world. It is the place where we draw together for fellowship with other Christians. It is the place where we are refreshed and strengthened.
That is not enough.
It is the place where we close ourselves off from the world. Here we are apart from the world's turmoil and confusion, its hate and its evil. It is the place apart from the world, a place nearer to God, a place where we find God.
No. God so loved the world. The church does not exist except as a means whereby God is able to proclaim and demonstrate his love in this world.
The church is the place where the gospel is preached. In Christ there is forgiveness, and in him the hope of eternal life.
Yes, but men must grow toward Christhood. They must learn from him not to be pious and nice and religious, but to more deeply serve and give themselves to others in this world.
It is here, to the church, that we come for healing. In the world we are hurt by hate, robbed by greed, crushed and left to die by indifference.
Christ is not just the healer of men in the church. He is this world's healer. The church is like a saucer into which water is always being poured. It is always overflowing, and the healing waters cover the world. The healed become healers in this world with Christ.
The world is evil, and we must flee from it. We must live our lives in this world, but it is only a trial, a testing, which we must pass through. The world is evil, and we must have no part of it.
Christ is Lord of this world. It is his, not Satan's. And if you're too pure to live in this world, too pure to love this world, then you're too pure to follow Christ.
And finally, we as Christians love God.
We love God only as we love Christ. And in any genuine love of Christ, we love what he loved. This world wayward and miserable, but reconciled to God.
Heil Hitler, an agent for the Abwehr, has been arrested. Now we will know.
So much is at stake, Hans.
One wrong word, one lie that was not convincingly told.
And the whole resistance could collapse.
Yes, I understand. You will be questioned. Ah, orally.
Maybe it would be better if a man could just die, quickly.
We know that within the Abwehr there are enemies of the Third Reich. We will find them. If you do not tell us what we want to know, you will wish you could die. But we won't let you. The resistance will be broken, and so will you. Hans von Donnell, officer of the Abwehr, you are under arrest.
But I...
Come with me.
Mama, Papa, hurry, they'll be here soon.
Dietrich, what is it?
They have arrested Hans. Now they'll come for me.
But how did they find out? What will happen now?
Hurry, Papa, can you hide these papers somewhere? They must not be found.
I'll take them to the attic.
But Dietrich...
Please, Mom, we don't have time to talk. Take these.
But I'm so afraid.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Yes.
You are under arrest.
What is the charge?
Mama.
Where are you taking him?
Mama.
Mama, don't say anymore.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer was arrested on April 5th, 1943. He was taken to the Tegel prison in Berlin.
Papa, there's a letter from Dietrich.
It has been 10 days now. I want you to know that I am all right. There's a little thrush in the prison courtyard that sings a little song to me each morning. I don't think he even knows he's in prison. Your grateful Dietrich.
Another 10 days. I don't think that I'm suffering. Even my sleep is pleasant. I dream good dreams, mostly of being together again. Soon it will be so.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with me. You are to be interrogated by the captain.
My dear parents, it has been 4 weeks now. I hope I will be out for the wedding of Suzanne and Eberhard.
The wedding is over. I hope the day was not saddened by my being here.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, you are to be interrogated again. I warn you, you better give some straight answers.
I wonder, what is a straight answer? How does one tell the truth? Does one give the information these evil men want? Betraying friends, men who have risked their lives, whose lives depend on my word, is that telling the truth?
It has been 3 months now.
I find it hard to be patient. Yet I'm surprised by the simple things I'm learning here, like how our lives are literally intertwined.
I wish Dietrich could see the flowers in the garden.
There are daylilies in the courtyard, strong and brave for their one day of life.
And we watch the plants grow, bear fruit, and ripen.
It is hard to imagine that the tomatoes are ripe already, and the apples. How strangely and how strongly the things of earth bind us together. I think this will be my last letter. Release is near, I'm certain.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with me. The captain is becoming impatient with you. Tell him what he wants to know, the truth.
Each time he demands the truth. But would I be truthful if I told him the truth? Do I owe evil men the truth?
Does he have to know?
Yes.
Isn't it enough that he is in prison? What good will it do to tell him? He has enough now.
He must know. He would want to know.
It is hard to comprehend, to accept inwardly as true. 3 young pastors, friends, dead. Now 30 of my students have died. Why is life so cheap to some and so precious to us?
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with me. How long do you think you can play with the captain?
I'm becoming a rather skillful liar. I admit that to myself with all modesty and surprise. But the truthfulness I owe to God and to my neighbor friends will not allow me to tell the truth to these evil men.
In the last weeks of 1943, the Allied bombing of key cities in Germany intensified. Night after night, the skies of Berlin were aflame.
Mama, Papa, are you all right?
Dietrich.
That part of the city looked like an enormous incinerator.
It must have been terrible. All those men hurt and weeping in the darkness.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, you have a visitor.
Eberhard.
You're looking well, Dietrich, for a prisoner, that is.
And rationing hasn't hurt you either. How are Mama and Papa and Suzanne?
They are well, lonesome. They are well. And they, Dietrich, what is it?
I need someone. I need someone to whom there is no need to pretend.
Pretend?
I tell Mama and Papa, don't worry, and I worry. Don't be afraid, and I'm afraid. I will be free, and
I think I...
Eberhard, in the cells on each side of me are men in handcuffs waiting for a certain death. I see them slowly die. I want you to know the arrangements I have made in case of my death. I will write to you about it.
Is it that hopeless?
No, not hopeless. In fact, there are some things I want to write to you about. I've had much time to think.
I'll be waiting to hear.
Soon it will be Christmas.
And Dietrich expects to be home.
We'll decorate the tree together.
And sing.
And laugh.
and cherish the gift of life.
Eberhard?
Yes.
Do you love life?
Yes, but I'm not...
Especially since you found Suzanne?
Yes, I love life, my wife, but still...
Why do you speak of loving life? Why do we speak of loving life in our world as if it were an apology? How I love life. I wish it were summer, and I would take a handful of dust, throw it in the air, and let it settle on me, the grass, and the flowers. I love this tender earth that God has made my home.
But, Dietrich, this world is not our home.
Right now it is, and I hope for some time to come.
But we should long for that other home.
Do you think God intends that a man should long for that other home while he is in his wife's arms? It would show to say at least a lack of taste. Why must we try to be more religious than God?
But we will die. And then?
And then, precisely. Joy, suffering, and death, each in their season. This world is my home now, Eberhard. And I'll be a worldly saint. And right now, I wish I were out of here. I was not cut out to be a Trappist, I know that now.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer?
My name is Dietrich.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dear Eberhard, I sometimes wonder, who am I? Am I the miserable one, inwardly anxious and restless and fearful? Or am I the one people here admire, that pretended self, cheerful, content, easy to get along with? Who am I? I know less than ever about myself.
Dietrich, my dear Dietrich.
You both look so good. But you shouldn't have come. It's a cold.
We missed you at Christmas, Dietrich. Especially when we sang. I'll tell you, a quartet without a tenor is less than a trio.
Dietrich, do you know when you'll be relieved? When will you be home?
Time is up.
I almost forgot. The children sent their uncle a late Christmas present. Some chocolate.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer?
Tell them, Uncle Dietrich.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer.
Tell them Uncle Dietrich loves them. Now I bear hard to finish this letter. I said I knew less about myself. Well, I'm done with introspection. I am Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I intend to leave some trace that I have been here. You asked me once.
Do you regret coming back to Germany?
Not for a moment. We have plunged into life, love and sadness felt full force. I do not regret it. By the way, I am certain my case will be settled in a week, by the 20th of February.
It's been a year now, Mama.
When will it ever end?
Dear Eberhard, I've given up all forecasting. It's too disappointing. And I can accept death. I think my death here would have some meaning. But really, I've not become morbid.
Eberhard, do you realize that our world has come of age?
Come of age? Doesn't seem very mature to me.
But it is. Mankind has come of age.
Never.
Now, when you become ill, what do?
I call a doctor.
Why don't you just pray?
I do.
And the doctor?
Well, his skill and knowledge and training are another gift from God for my healing.
But what if there were two doctors? One very competent, but an unbeliever. And the other a believer, but incompetent.
Well, I go with the competent one. Faith does not make up for lack of skill and knowledge, of course.
Spoken on behalf of the world come of age.
What?
Our world, mankind, has a maturity, a self-sufficiency it has never known before.
Because I go to the doctor?
No, but because you have confidence that your healing will come from his knowledge and skill.
But I still...
And you doubt that it will come from a man who lacks skill and knowledge, even if he prays.
That hardly makes the world self-sufficient.
Eberhard, if you were a farmer and repeatedly, in spite of rain and good weather, your fields did not produce well, what would you do?
I'd have the soil analyzed and add whatever it lacked.
And if you had an urgent, a life-saving message for a man several hundred miles away?
I'd call on the telephone.
And what would our forefathers have done?
Nothing.
Or?
Maybe pray for God to do something they could not do.
Exactly. That is what man has always done. That is what religion has been, man depending on God.
But we still must depend.
Man does not depend on God as he once did. He relies on the skill and knowledge of his fellow man. And it is good. Man is becoming...
Then in this world come of age.
Man is no longer religious.
On July 20th, 1944, an attempt was made to assassinate Hitler.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, I am Colonel Beckman of the Gestapo. Do you know the men who tried to assassinate the Fuhrer?
Someone tried to kill Hitler.
Do you know Count von Stauffenberg?
No, I do not.
Then it doesn't matter to you that he is dead. Would you like to know who else died with him?
No, I don't want to know.
Come now, Bonhoeffer. Do you really think you are the keeper of the secrets of the resistance? There are no secrets. We probably know more about the resistance than you do.
I'm sure you do. And I would think that there would be no more questions, Colonel Beckman.
A few details. But there is plenty of time for that. I would like to understand you, Bonhoeffer. Let's sit down. You see, I have studied at a seminary, too.
Himmler has a seminary?
It was some time ago, you know, but I still consider myself a religious man.
There are many kinds of religious men and many saviors men follow.
Let me remember. You said that in a radio broadcast, 1933. It is as if you were elected not a leader, but a messiah, a savior.
Yes, I said that.
As I said, Bonhoeffer, I consider myself a religious man. I studied your career and read all your books.
That would hardly make a man religious.
First there was Act and Being, 1930, I believe. Quite brilliant for a man of 24.
Thank you.
And then, The Communion of Saints, that was also published in 1930. You must have been flattered when Karl Barth...
Will you ask the question you came to ask?
Then there was Lying Together, about the experience at Thinkenwald, a very moving book.
I'd like to go back to myself.
Not yet. Sit down. The one I liked most, I think, was The Cost of Discipleship. You were right, you know.
I must have been wrong.
The people of age have come to Germany. It is as much the fall of the church as it is the fall of the church. If there is guilt, you're all equally guilty.
But I called for repentance, a turning back.
So we all make the best of it. I carry my guilt in the Gestapo uniform. You carry yours in the prison uniform. There is no real difference.
There is a difference.
Righteous indignation. I didn't expect that.
Not righteous. I'm not righteous, but...
And that brings us to your last book, ethics.
Ethics?
You didn't think you knew? You thought you had hidden it so well?
Where did you find it?
You said that man really determined what is good and what is evil. And I suppose that what is right and what is wrong. Why, that silly pretending then that you know what is right.
I know what is right for me now.
But you said?
I also said that a man must learn to follow Christ in simplicity and wisdom. And the simplicity that comes when we follow Christ alone and the wisdom.
You said that? Then there must be parts of ethics we have not found. We'll have to retrace your footsteps more carefully. Perhaps we will find others who are cooperative, others who are guilty.
They are innocent.
And your friends in the resistance?
They are innocent.
A moment ago, everyone was guilty. Now everyone is innocent. I'm afraid you are becoming... Here, have a drink of water.
Thank you.
Dietrich, I want to...
Prisoner Bonhoeffer.
Dietrich, I want to...
I am Prisoner Bonhoeffer, and you are...
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, man. I want to spare you from being sent to Prince Albertstrasse's prison.
Prince Albertstrasse?
You know about it?
I know.
Some men will not be reasonable, and there is only one way to get information. But there is no reason why you should go to Prince Albert's castle.
I'm glad to hear that.
You will be reasonable. You choose to be tortured.
I choose not to betray.
Then confront your smug soul with this. Will you tell us of the resistance, or will you send the Gestapo after those who sheltered you and now hide your book?
But why must you...
I make no attempt to justify myself. You are the one who knows what is right.
But it is impossible. I cannot...
How will you condemn others to suffering, prisoner Bonhoeffer? By your speech or by your silence? Guard, take the prisoner back to the cell.
Well, it has been almost a year and a half.
When will it ever end?
Dietrich?
Yes. Eberhard, what is it?
Dietrich, man is no longer religious. We must make him realize he has gone astray.
Gone astray? Learning to heal, learning to make a field a better field, that is going astray?
Not that, but thinking that he doesn't need God anymore.
Maybe it is time for silence. Most of what we've done so far has been wrong.
What has been done wrong?
We have accused the man who seeks skill and knowledge of arrogance. We have said we have made ourselves the enemies of those who search out man's potential.
But...
We've said, return to your former dependence. We've tried to push the adult back into childhood.
But Dietrich...
Worst of all, we've dishonored Christ by assuming that he cannot be Lord of a world come of age, a world more mature and self-reliant.
But how can we proclaim Christ?
That is the problem, Eberhard. We have so long borrowed the language of religion, of dependence, we've come to think it is the only way to proclaim Christ.
Papa, here's a letter from Dietrich.
Dear Mama and Papa, what a lovely fall day this is. A brisk wind blows in the window. I fill my lungs with fresh air and feel strangely strong and free. Do not worry.
But, Dietrich, how can we speak?
I don't know. In any case, we must cease to speak of Christ only as the one who helps us in our weakness and failure.
But how else can we?
I would rather talk about Christ who is at the center of life. Not on the edge of life where I am forced to depend on him, but at the center. And there he urges men on.
But what of our sins and our death?
He is Lord there, but he is not just Lord of my failure and death, the things I want to forget. I would proclaim him as Lord of this world's life, and in following him, men will become fit keepers of this world.
Look around you, Dietrich. Will men ever become fit keepers of this world?
Eberhard, it is Christ, the one true man who can teach a world come of age to live responsibly.
I see no hope, even in a world come of age.
There is more than hope. There is promise. This world is Christ's. It is reconciled to God. And the world come of age will become a world of joy and peace and freedom when Christ is recognized as its center. The measure of each man's life as responsibility.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, come with us. You are being transferred to the Prince Albert's Castle prison.
Then in February 1945.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, you are being transferred to Buchenwald.
On April 3rd.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, to Schoenberg.
April 8th.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, Flossenbürg.
And on April 9th. 1945, in an abandoned little schoolhouse.
Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with us. We all knew what those words meant.
It is the end. But for me, it is the beginning. That concludes it. Realize it's late. If you want to talk, fine. If you want to go to bed, fine.
Thank you for the phone.
Thank you to those who read, by the way. Yeah. Pardon? Oh, about 4 or 5 months ago.
Would you say, Norm, that probably the best introduction for someone who's not read Bonhoeffer would be to pick up paperback letters and papers from prison?
Yeah, I would think so.
From which much of this is...
Yeah, I think the spirit of Bonhoeffer, I think one of the really good books that ties his biography in with what he wrote is In Pursuit of Bonhoeffer, a recent book by a Kuhn, K-U-H-N, a Roman Catholic, by the way.
Hans Kuhn?
No, not Hans. It's K-U-H-N.
Oh, Kuhn.
Yeah. But that's, it introduces both his works and his life.
What's the name of that book again, Hans Kuhn?
It's, by Hans Kuhn. K-U-H-N, In Pursuit of Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
How active was Bonhoeffer really in the resistance beyond his vocal support?
Quite active, really. I suppose that in the resistance, different men, according to their connections and particular value to the resistance, performed their responsibility. Bonhoeffer actually made, and his function particularly was in contact with the people outside of Germany to see about support. And he made 2 trips to Switzerland, and this one through